is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League, the WHL broadcast partners, and Bauer Hockey. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to a brand new season, and welcome back to the fans. Yes, it's been a while since fans have been around WHL rinks. This WHL This Week radio edition will get you all set up for the 2021-22 WHL opening weekend. Commissioner Ron Robison set to kick off our season opening episode. He'll set the stage for the year ahead. Meanwhile, the league will see seven new rule changes this season. We'll get a breakdown of what to expect for fans from WHL's Vice President of Hockey, Richard Dirksen, and some news and notes later on in the show. First up, WHL This Week kicks off with Commissioner Ron Robison as we get the 2021-22 season underway. Commissioner Robison is our guest. Ron, first of all, it's got to be great to be back, but I think what everyone's looking forward to is getting back in the rink, and that's been a long time coming here for the WHL.
It certainly has. There's no question. 568 days since our fans were allowed to attend a regular season game, and we are really excited to get going. We want to get a full 68-game regular season, and along with four rounds of playoffs, and of course, culminating with the Memorial Cup.
There's been some changes this year, particularly for players, staff, and fans with the vaccine policy. How has that been received so far?
It's been received very well. We went out to our teams, including all of our players, early on and said we want to have everyone vaccinated, strongly recommended it. We ultimately went to a mandated policy, but in the voluntary sense, we had over 95% compliance with players and staff, and then we have now achieved the 100% level of all players and staff in the league, fully vaccinated, and we're delighted to be in that position. It's the right thing to do, of course, from a health and safety standpoint.
That's probably the biggest change from last year's developmental season is the vaccine. But all in all, you pulled that off through a pandemic with the 22 teams here. What was your take on how that developmental season went last year, Ron?
Well, we were very fortunate. Our ownership was very committed to making this happen. We wanted to make sure that the players didn't face the situation where they didn't have any competition and continue with the ability to continue their development within the league. And so the shortened season, the development season, we referred to it, has really accomplished that, I think. And fortunately now we're in a position where we're opening and hopeful that we're going to have a full season this year for these players, as their development is the first responsibility for the league.
You know, with the fans coming back, it comes back, you know, at a good time. We have a ton of talent, not only NHL drafted talent, but draft eligible talent here. It's looking like a good couple of years ahead here, at least for the WHL on that front.
Well, of course, the WHL has been always referred to as a leading supplier to the National Hockey League. And when you look at this past year's draft, we had more players selected this year than any other league or country in the world. And that's really quite a remarkable achievement unto itself. But we're really excited about the 22 and the 23, the next two drafts, where we've got some tremendous prospects. And we're going to have a very dominant showing again. And in particularly in 2023, where it could be what all people from all reports indicating that we may have our best draft ever.
Yeah, and some of those names highlighted for that draft ahead?
Yeah, we've got, of course, Connor Bedard, the Regina Pats. We've got Braden Yeager and Moose Jaw and Riley Height and Prince George, just to name a few. There's many, many top prospects, and we're going to be very dominant in 2023. We're looking forward to seeing them develop this season, along with our 22 NHL prospects as well.
You know, the WHL with the developmental season allowed every team to carry an underager, if you will, a 15-year-old, and they got that experience. And you mentioned those players a second ago as well. Connor Bedard had that outstanding season as well as the other two. But you look at what that will do for the development of these players for their draft year. Was that a consideration when you made that move?
Well, I think it was a consideration for all players, whether you're talking about underage players or overage players for that matter. All players really, you could argue at that age, really need to take that next step in their development, and we just felt it was really important to deliver a season, and we're fortunate, given the cooperation we received from all health authorities and all of our jurisdictions, that we're able to get that in.
For years, there was a TV partnership deal through Shaw, which was a really effective one, I thought, of bringing the players into living rooms and the league on that stage. There's a new TV deal this year. Let's talk about how that came together and your partners you're working with this season.
Yeah, we're very excited at the national level. We have new broadcast partners with the Canadian Hockey League. Both TSN and CBC will be broadcasting games this year. TSN doing the majority of the games in regular season, and of course our special events at the national level, including Memorial Cup. But this year we're going to be highlighted in the CBC broadcast, which will take place on Saturday afternoon, and this Saturday we have the Regina Pats hosting the Prince Albert Raiders to get things started. So we're very excited about the national broadcast opportunities, and of course our WHL Live continues to provide games at a high quality on an ongoing basis for our fans, and this year the service for WHL Live will even be further enhanced with some major TV applications.
All right, we're looking forward to that. Of course, it became such a big factor last year without fans being allowed in the building. Earlier this year in an exhibition game, the WHL breaking some barriers with Alex Clark, a linesman in the prairies there in Saskatchewan, who lines the game, first female official in WHL history. What does that say about Alex and the WHL?
Well, for Alex, first of all, congratulations on this opportunity. She's very much earned it. She's played hockey at a very high level, and then, of course, officiated at a high level, having just completed the Women's World Championships. And we're delighted that she's not only part of our staff, but has really demonstrated to us that she's a very good prospect coming into the league and someone that's going to have a real good career ahead of her.
WHL Commissioner Ron Robison, it's been a long time coming, as you mentioned, 568 days or so here without fans in our building, and we're really looking forward here to opening weekend. Thanks for kicking off our radio show again this season.
Thanks very much. My pleasure.
You're listening to the WHL This Week, Radio Edition.
The WHL will have an updated look on the ice. WHL's Vice President of Hockey, Richard Dirksen, broke down the rule changes this season.
I will just give a brief overview of the seven rules that we've adopted. And if you break them down, we have, of the seven, four of them are rules that are currently used in the National Hockey League. Two are currently used in the International Ice Hockey Federation. And then the one rule was implemented from our end, primarily for the safety of our players. So in terms of the NHL rules that we have adopted for this season, they include the offside plane, which I think is fairly straightforward. Any player touching the blue line, but the parallel plane straight up from there would now be onside. We've adopted the coach's challenge. So if a coach feels that a goal was scored that perhaps was offside on the play, he is able to now challenge that play. We have the NHL rule where a puck is in continuous motion to the net. The referee loses sight and has an inadvertent quick whistle. The video goal judge can now review that and allow the goal if the puck clearly was going into the net through the course of that play. And then the final one is a very minor change. We have used no line change on icings behind the blue line for the past number of years. This year we're going to accept and use the full NHL rule. So any icing will now result in a no change by the team that iced the puck. The two rule changes from the International Ice Hockey Federation include the faceoff violation. So rather than pitch a centerman, if there's been any shenanigans on the faceoff, the linesman will simply warn that team that they have their first warning. And if there's a second delay to that team, it will result in an automatic bench minor to the club. And then likewise on the crease violation, we are going to use the same goal crease that the NHL uses. So rather than the complete semicircle we've had in the past, the two wings are cut off on either side. You see them all in the NHL rinks, and we've used them in Calgary and Edmonton here in the Western Hockey League as well. But the rule that ties in with that is if a player is standing in the crease and won't move, the referee has the alternative to stop the play and take the face off outside the blue line. So you're penalizing the attacking team in that case. And then our seventh and final rule is basically for safety of our players. And it just involves situations. If there is going to be a fight, if a player undoes his chin strap prior to or during the fight, he will receive an automatic misconduct penalty. Likewise, if he intentionally tries to pull off the helmet or pry off the helmet of the opponent, he will receive misconduct for that as well. So again, obviously fighting is way down in our league. We're not encouraging fighting, but if one does break out, we sure want to keep the helmets on the players during the course of the fight.
The new icing rule, which will see all icing calls resulting in a no change by the team that iced the puck, now includes all icing calls, not just those from inside the blue line. WHL This Week asked Vice President of Hockey Richard Dirksen about how much of a change this will be this season.
We did a study during the preseason, and approximately 75% of all icings are from behind the blue line. So we're looking at a change of about 25%. If a team has, the average was about six icings per game. So we were looking at maybe 1.5 additional icings that would be no change when we get to regular season. So one or two per team per game. So really, we didn't think that was an overly relevant factor in not going ahead with it.
The coach's challenge will be slightly different than the NHL rules based on accessibility to camera angles. We asked Director of Officiating Kevin Minch about the wrinkle the WHL will implement based on video accessibility.
Good question, John. Obviously, we discussed that at length when we started bringing in the coach's challenge and how we're going to be limited to our camera angles and inside each building. So that's why the NHL doesn't have an outcome that's called inconclusive. We had to. We know that there might be situations where the puck or the player's skates aren't visible because of the camera angles that are available. So there will be situations where we're going to have a goal allowed and no penalty assessed. We'll call it inconclusive. But we will be using all cameras available in each building for this challenge. We have no additional cameras being inserted at the blue lines like the NHL has.
Now, the WHL will have a female linesman this year. Alex Clark will be doing games in the Prairies.
Well, Alex certainly has earned herself a spot on the roster. We have 18 new officials, as I mentioned, nine referees, nine linesmen. All of them have been scouted by our department. All of them have been tracked in their development. And Alex, as a female, has proven that she's earned the right to be part of that group. She's extremely intelligent. She handles herself well. She's got great composure. She understands the pressure of the game. She's played at a high level. And Alex is on the ice because she deserves to be part of our team.
In the week leading up to the new season, the Kelowna Rockets and Saskatoon Blades hooked up on a significant one-for-one trade, swapping 18-year-old forwards Colton Dock and Trevor Wong. Dock is a second-round NHL pick of the Chicago Blackhawks. Speaking to Kelowna Rockets broadcaster Regan Bartel after the deal was done, Dock says the two players are similar in their approach to the game.
Yeah, he likes to score goals. I like to score goals. So, that's not going to change. That's definitely not something Kelowna's going to lose for sure.
And Colton hoping to use this season to develop his game for the next level.
Myself, as an 18-year-old coming in, I want to be able to have that all-around complete game. And I think that's something where if I want to play in the NHL one day, that's something I'm going to need to have. So that's one of the biggest things I'm going to be working on this season and trying to be the best player I can be.
The younger brother of Blackhawks first-rounder and Saskatoon Blades alumni Kirby Dock, Colton says they have similar attributes but different skill sets.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ways we are very similar. I think, obviously, like you touched on the stature, size, and skating. I think we both protect pucks really well. I think we both got to use our stick to our advantage and having a longer stick. I think the biggest difference between him and I is he's more of a pass-first guy. I'm a shoot-first guy.
This is the WHL This Week, presented by Bauer Hockey.
Through the WHL's opening week, the Western Hockey League and all 17 Canadian markets joined Canadians from coast to coast in recognizing and commemorating the legacy of residential schools in the days following the very first National Day of Truth and Reconciliation back on Thursday, September 30th. Now, throughout opening weekend of the 2021-22 regular season, WHL coaches, training staff, officials, and players will sport orange ribbons and the orange Every Child Matters helmet decals in honor of those impacted by residential schools. A moment of silence will be held during each WHL home opening game in Canada, giving pause for reflection on the legacy of the residential school system in Canada. The Every Child Matters logo will be visible throughout all 17 WHL venues in Western Canada. And as we wrap up this week, I wanted to send out a special message to longtime voice of the Medicine Hat Tigers, Bob Ridley. Now, Rids won't be in the broadcast booth for opening weekend as he undergoes medical treatment. Now, on behalf of the WHL broadcasters, I'd like to wish Rids all the best, and we are thinking of him. Get well soon, Rids. Hey, I'm John Keane. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the opening week, and welcome back to the Fan.
This has been a presentation of the Western Hockey League in cooperation with the WHL broadcast partners and Bauer Hockey.